and I'll, I am just discombobulated. I haven't come to the new year yet. Okay, shall we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call, sir.
Director Herndon.
Here.
Director Lieberman.
Here.
At least half here.
And also show that Penny Quadras and Kirk Cloyd are also here.
All righty. Do we approve this agenda?
I'd motion to approve the agenda for the Personnel Committee of Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District, January 3rd, 2019.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There's nobody left to vote. Okay, so we are unanimous. Kirk, you want to start with the...
Yes, the Finance Committee originally had asked that we go through and have CPSHR Consulting draft a basically a salary survey for the water resources specialist. And so we do have that back. We want to bring it to the Personnel Committee first, and then we want to take that over to the Finance Committee. We want to make sure that you had options to see that as well and make sure that you were comfortable with the report as it was drafted before we get a final report from CPSHR. The Reader's Digest version of the entire report is that there are I believe roughly four that they could compare it to out of the overall group, but as you notice, they're not all in our area. One of them is even from San Diego. So it was very difficult for them to do that for our area. The overall recommendation is that we link it to an internal, there's an internal anchor which it is already linked to, and that's the full charge bookkeeper. So that is the recommendation at this point, that we continue to do that, and that we may even want to consider in the future changing that position, the name of it, because over the years, the last 2.5-3 years, that position has changed considerably. That position was doing some of the financing when our finance person retired. And that, of course, has gone to Trish as the full-charge bookkeeper. So this position has transitioned. It's still a water specialist position as far as the annual report's concerned, but there's a lot of grant writing, so it's more of a project manager. And it may be something in the future we want to have as a project manager position. But at this point in time, I would have to agree with CPSHR Consulting that we should have it just linked to the internal anchor.
How do we justify some, I understand the anchor, and it made sense to me at first, but is it the value that's driven by that position to
it's
the district?
It's internal worth, correct. It's what it is worth to this district,
mm-hmm.
and they liken that worth to that of the full charge bookkeeper.
Right. The only thing that I'm not... Well, I'm not really uncomfortable with. I just don't, I kind of don't get it. And maybe it's the value I place on supervisory kinds of positions where people are managed and mentored and that sort of thing.
Correct.
And the this position oversees the fellows and from time to time stands in for other, in other positions. Are you comfortable with the fact that it's fully valued? That
I am.
That's huge.
The reason I'm comfortable with it being fully valued is that the actual supervisor of the fellows is in Sacramento. The site supervisor, Alyssa,
got it.
Is here, and she directs some of their day-to-day things. That's not a whole lot different than what Trish does with the two representatives up front when they need help or they need coverage. She goes up and covers the front.
Right.
So I see a lot of similarities in the coverage and the supervision. A true supervisor typically is going to oversee 3 to 7 people. In these cases, they both oversee 2 people. So they're not classified as a supervisor, and they don't have supervisory duties in their job description as much as a true supervisor like Dennis would.
Right. I wasn't concerned so much with how many or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider that the senior reps in front have a similar kind of relationship to Trish as right. the fellows do to Alyssa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that...
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of irons it out for me. The other thing I want to say about this is the form that they used, that we used, whoever mm-hmm. used it, I really gave a lot of insight into yeah. what's going on. I love this form. And I think personally we ought to do it for every job. Yeah. not necessarily CPS. But, you know, with that as a guide, it would not be a bad deal.
Right.
To
well, the other thing that you know, we've talked about before is as you approach compensation for this position, begins to approach the compensation that the senior utility supervisor, Dennis, has, you start looking at Dennis being salary. And as we've talked about before, at what point is this going to get that close, and maybe it should have been a salary position like we've talked about. So, you know, I don't think it should be a salary position because they don't oversee and have that oversight as a supervisor does.
Yeah.
And so, but it is, you know, those positions are beginning to get a little bit closer, and that's something this district has said they really don't want to do that salary position for you know, other than the field supervisor and the GM. So with that, I think we need to be very cognizant of how close we get with that as well.
Right. So. Okay.
And you have another exempt employee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have too many exempt employees for a district. You become top-heavy, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So. I really like the title that came out of the City of Santa Rosa, the Research and Program Coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good title.
Yeah. And it's really what happens, like I say, it's a program manager.
Seems to fit.
Yeah. That is a program manager. You know, position, and I think it's very applicable to what Alyssa does here. So okay. I do like that.
That's where I didn't know having a manager title versus a research and program coordinator
mm-hmm.
may have been a little, because there you go again talking about creeping up
right.
towards supervisory when you call someone the manager of that department. I guess you could, what's your thought on that?
I don't really have a lot of, believe it or not, opinion on it. And what we're doing, or the direction we seem to be flowing, seems to be the right direction, and I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think no matter what we call it, if you know the job description isn't going to change because that's really what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the job description will stay the same, and we can title it. You know, I think that the you know the current title water resources specialist is a little misleading to what she does because she does so much more than that, and it's so much more involved. So you know, we definitely could look at a title change, but I don't think that would change the job description or the pay and what it's anchored to personally.
Titles are kind of almost inconsequential, I
right.
hate to say that.
Right.
To some people, they mean a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we know from looking at the comparisons
right.
that no matter what we call the job, let's go back to the last admin position that we had that changed into the administrative services officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really didn't mean anything. The title didn't. It was important to the incumbent to have that official kind of title. And they wanted to change the job description, or the GM did. So, you know, that all went along. But it really, the title didn't mean squat to me.
Right. Only time the title makes a real huge difference is when somebody like CPS is trying to find comparables and find that name. They try and find something that's under the same name. And then they have to see if the job description is even the same. Many times you'll have the name exactly the same and the job description is different.
Right. That's why.
That's about it.
I'm kind of not sweating it about the title. Whatever's right, you know, whatever people are comfortable with, I don't think makes a lot of difference, except when you get to the kind of universal titles like utility and operator,
right,
that require certifications, and there is a fairly standard view or
correct
list of job functions,
correct,
that go with the title.
That's right. Job description and salary range are the most important.
So if you're comfortable with that, then I'll let them know we accept it, and we'll take the next step and get a final to take over to the finance committee as well.
Okay, good. Is that all?
And then at that point, we'll bring a final report to the full board. Probably going to be the February meeting, I would imagine. It'll go to the full board for acceptance, and if the board is comfortable with it, we'll keep it linked as is. But we have the justification now as to how and why. Because before we just linked it arbitrarily. It was because it was the closest we could. But now we actually have the study and the evidence that it really should be linked to that.
Mm-hmm.
So means that the board made a good decision.
That's always heartening. Okay. So we are there. Discuss and review employee handbook.
This one I have to apologize for. I thought that I had put it in the last board meeting, and I did not. So I apologize. I thank you for tabling that. I did send over the red line and strike through, just real basic and simple. Again, the Reader's Digest version. I pulled out all the FMLA and just referenced FMLA. And the email I sent, I think, kind of pointed out those areas that I changed. So, see if you had any questions on that.
No, they seem to be. I didn't anyway. They seem to be fairly.
No, I think the only question I had was under that 6.4 pay for performance program under construction.
That was the one. That
I thought we were going to strike that completely and leave it as a separate issue to bring up. We were going to have to do some work on that.
Yeah, that's
or
what
you just using that as a placeholder.
That's what the committee asked me to do, is just leave that as a placeholder.
Okay.
So that we could come back to it. From what the committee had said, we didn't want this to hold up the entire employee handbook.
Correct.
And we wanted to move it forward, but we also wanted the rest of the board to know that it has a place in the handbook, and then we'll bring it back as a revision. So it'll be a revision to the handbook once this committee has a comfortable draft that they'd like to take forward.
Can we just say pending then?
We can say pending, sure.
How does that sound to you?
Yeah.
I really don't want to lose it, and I think if we're recommending.
Oh, I say Norm Newell, but I'll call him back later.
Okay.
Our auditor.
Yeah. If we really are in substance bent on recommending this to the board, that we go through with this, I think to just label it as pending, you know, the 2019 revision or, you know, next revision.
I know. Under construction sounds a little bit like we already submitted something to work on,
okay,
or a skeleton of it. So I think probably you're right, pending would be
good. Good. That sits all right with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Then we will make that revision, and we're going to have that in the January board packet, if that's okay.
That's great.
I couldn't pick it up under district mail. You had sent
okay
Word. It was under using Microsoft Word.
Okay.
Huh. And mine, that's the first time that
that's
I could not get it to work.
Yeah.
It said it won't work under this application.
Wow.
So I went to
find out why.
The district website and pulled up our agenda and backup, and I was able to pull everything up.
But it just went through the email then.
I'm wondering if we need to update Microsoft.
You might need to do that because I had some problem printing things.
Okay. We have an older version of Outlook, an older version of Microsoft Word, and they're in conflict with each other. My Outlook actually loses all my notes, and any notes I put in there, and it changes, and all they configure. We finished everything that we can yesterday, and now they're saying it has to be through Luxi. So it's either going to be Luxi or the fact that the old version does not talk to the newer version. So we may have to spend some money on updating our software so that they're all compatible again.
Is it imperative that you own the software, that the district own the software?
Correct.
You can't just do a Microsoft 360?
Well, this would be Microsoft 360 that is on each, we'd have a license on each individual PC.
Oh, because I have five on mine, five units, and for $100 a year, everything is absolutely up to snuff.
Updated
and all the rest of that for five computers. Okay. Now we've got more here at the district, so we'd probably need more. But for $200 a year, it would seem to me that would be the thing
some
to do.
Of my software.
Is that a business license or a
no? It's a personal.
Yeah, and see that's the problem. They charge a lot more for a business license, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mine's like 12 years old. Some of my software.
Yeah.
I think my Microsoft Word is that old. So I've got Bill Friedrich coming out. I'm going to have him update. Maybe that was the problem from my end from having outdated software.
Yeah, we're going to have to start looking at doing the same thing. So we've got the servers rebuilt, actually replaced. So now we're going to have to start looking at some of the software.
How many PCs are we talking about?
12, I believe. So that would be out at the plant and here.
Mm-hmm. So. Then we have the two up front.
And they're independent.
Yeah.
I think that counts those.
That one. I don't guess you would need Microsoft.
No, that one's just considered part of the server. So that one actually is updated with when the server was replaced. 12.
Yeah. Well, mine covers five.
Okay.
And for 100, so I would think that's $100 a year.
Yeah.
And for me, it was worth it. Particularly because of my business.
Yeah, even if it was $1,000 a year, it'd be worth it.
Yeah.
Keep things moving forward without all these problems and issues. So.
Yeah.
We've got Jeff is coming out on the, I think it's the 16th, from Applied Technologies. So that's one of the things we're going to be talking to him anyway. So
okay.
He's going to be doing some training on cybersecurity, as well as looking at our systems and our software. So we're going to talk about that a couple times. Especially with the problems I've had with Outlook and Microsoft Word. So,
can I just get some clarification on item 5?
You bet.
Job description title, does it remain the same?
Currently it remains the same. That said, if the personnel committee is comfortable, I'll sit down and talk to Alyssa. And if there's a requested change, would the personnel committee be concerned if we change that to being very similar to what Santa Rosa has?
Project coordinator? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was the...
As Linda said, it can be either. So whatever you're comfortable with is...
The only thing...
is probably okay with me. What do you...
No, the only thing that concerns me, I think in times past, and Alyssa's not going to occupy this position forever, we just want to make a note that we don't want to get in the habit of allowing people to name their own jobs.
Right. Well, this would come from me, but after I talk with her, because there's, I think that the job description, we've added a few things according to CPSHR Consulting. They've looked at a couple of differences in what she's actually doing, and we'd like to update that just to reflect it. It's not going to be any major changes. It's just the small verbiage, but I think that the title of water resources specialist that she has now does not really reflect what the job description, and so I'd like to consider changing that.
No, I just think back off the record with the latitude that Tammy took with so many things, and I don't want that to...
That was one of them.
Yeah.
I dubbed the queen or king.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, wasn't that the...
Yeah, I don't think the job, the duties aren't going to change at all. We've already updated those, but the title, I think, would be better reflected so that in the future, if the Personnel Committee or the Finance Committee want to go out and do a comparison, I think we'd have better luck with either a project manager or as we said, with Santa Rosa, I can't remember the title of that, but it's a water coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd look at those two titles, and it would probably be one of those two.
Right. I think that's great.
Yeah. It was really a nice format to see for the job description to get the input, your input and her input, and try to formulate from those two. Really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what the cost was for just one.
About $4,600.
Not bad.
$4,600. So.
I think it's well invested.
$75 for everybody.
Yeah.
We did everyone's $75. So it was a lot of the same work, having to go back out and redo some of the same work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So it's cheaper by the dozen.
It is. Exactly.
Okay. All right. I don't know if we can discuss
it's actually
this
not on here. However, if you would like to discuss anything during the committee member comments.
Okay. And that's where I was going.
Salami? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Since we have no... public, we'll go straight to committee member comments. Let's discuss this. The unfunded positions. This is a really good approach, in my opinion, to succession planning and just being prepared. Something we've not seen in, as far back as I can remember, any proactive planning with...
Get ahead of the wave, if you will.
Yeah, you know, that has to do with our structure and framework, right. And I think it's...
And security for this agency. We need to make sure that
absolutely.
This agency is taken care of when we leave, because we're not all going to be here forever.
Exactly.
And this will set, if it's okay, first of all, with the Personnel Committee, this will set precedence for other GMs and other Personnel, Finance Committees, and Boards to do this in the future. It'll set an example of what we should be doing to be a healthy agency.
And maybe that's something for the Personnel Committee to maybe trigger on an annual basis or whatever, put it on the committee's charter or whatever. Not that we should do the deed,
right.
But that we should trigger the activity.
Give staff direction to
exactly.
review our current staff and the possibilities of retirement and how we're going to address that moving forward.
And it's more than, in my mind anyway, it's more than just the retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously that's happening. Where in the world did you get that name, Silver Tsunami?
It's actually what they're terming out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, the quote I put in there, I believe, is from Roberts, not Norm Roberts. That one
Robert
is...
Robert Half?
What's that?
Is it Robert Half?
Not Robert Half. Yeah, I think I even put the name in there, but that's actually a quote from them off of their website. And so that's what we've heard through the water agencies, even at the state level. They're calling the retirement of people my age, actually from 45 and up, they're calling that the silver tsunami, because all that information is just leaving. And there's there's just no corporate knowledge being left behind. And it's very difficult.
Right.
So.
Well, what this will do, too, is it'll, you know, to have this as part of the fabric of the district will give us a much better jump on people... refilling positions that where people leave for other reasons.
Yeah.
And
Barry's, Paul.
Yeah.
Sure.
Should be part of our strategic plan.
I think so.
You know,
coming up in 2 weeks.
I think it's
the 19th.
Yeah, and if you Google replacing retirees you'll see it referred to as the Silver Tsunami in multiple places. So
that's a common, I'm behind the times then.
Common thing. But I think a succession plan is so important. To get something like this started is just a terrific idea.
Well, the other thing this does is it really provides the board layers of protection. So it means that the personnel committee first has to approve an unfunded position. So the position's there, but the GM has no authority and no money to fill the position. Then it has to, and that unfunded position has to be approved by the entire board. Then it has to go to the finance committee, who's going to make sure we have the funding. And then from there, we go to the entire board again to fund it. So it really gives the board a lot of checks and balances to make sure you don't have somebody, you don't have a general manager just hiring people without...
willy-nilly.
Yeah, without really running everything through the committees and through the board. So it gives you a lot of security that you're not going to overspend in your budgets. So.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's something we ought to be doing. Yeah.
I guess the only question would be, you know, affordability. If we can't afford not to, almost.
Yeah, I agree with
so
that. Yeah.
You have to say it that way. But, you know, budget-wise, mm-hmm. You know, another operator two would be the probably highest expense. It sounds like it would be representative out front to start at minimum wage, mm-hmm. like we had Samantha for that period.
It'd be very similar.
Kind of the same thing.
However, we really couldn't do that anyway because we don't have it. It's not a budgeted position, and we can't hire into an unbudgeted.
The only thing, in worst case scenario, Karen turns 65 this month, is her birthday. Worst case scenario, if she were to say, hey, I've realized that I can retire and make just as much or enough money, she could retire. At that point, we'd have to hire somebody directly in. That still wouldn't change our budget. And the nice thing is that from a personnel committee point of view, all we're looking at is, should we have an unfunded position? Do we recognize that there's a need in the future? Then the burden falls on the finance committee to make sure that the funding's there. And then it falls on the entire board to approve that. The only thing we could really do at that point is we could do it during the mid-year budget. We could look at it and say, well, we do have the money in the mid-year budget. We can do a mid-year budget adjustment, and we can fund one of those positions. We could not fund both of them, in all honesty. I could not fund an operator two and someone up here. But if we had to, we may be able to do a mid-year budget adjustment and fund one position entry level if we have to. So that is something that we can look at if the board wants me to.
But that wouldn't even... we're in no danger of doing anything rash.
No.
I mean, if you retired and we had some less prudent being in the GM position who would just go through, you know, I'm reminded of Matt telling people that their positions were higher.
Yeah.
You're now a supervisor, you're now, you know, higher than you were.
You can't do that.
I just about had a heart attack when he did that.
Wow.
But
that still gives me the heebie-jeebies. But
I know. But I don't think we'd put ourselves in that position again. And I think that's the only concern I would have. But that concern is candidate-specific or GM-specific. It's...
Well, even if you do, this format makes it so somebody like that can't do that. You have to get the approval for the position unfunded. You have to get the finance committee to approve the funding. And then you have to get the entire board to approve the position for hire. So
it
really gives the board that control, which I'm totally fine with. I look at this as you know, this is really a way that the board can say, you know what, we are going to take part in the success of this agency. Not just now, but planning for success for the future. And it in a sense, puts the burden on the board as well. So
not a bad thing.
No. I think it's actually where it should be, because it gives the board that control. And I'm not saying that the board needs to be in control of the daily operations, but they need to be in control of everything that this district does financially and in the future, the planning for that. And again, that's the succession planning. That's, mm-hmm. that's, you know, looking at succession planning, but also strategic planning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really, can we recommend to the board that they accept this since it's not on the agenda?
It, that's what I'm saying, is we can put it on the agenda.
Oh, you mean for?
For January.
No, I mean as a personnel committee recommendation.
Won't we need to recommend it to finance?
There's no finance
involved
in here.
No, there's no,
oh.
This is just the position creation.
Mm-hmm. Unfunded. Now, if it, to fund it, it has to go to finance.
But you can't.
Unfunded, we could.
Unfunded, it can go
forward.
Directly.
Correct.
Even if it existed, though, you couldn't fund it without.
Nope.
No, without board approval.
Correct.
And that's not just the finance committee.
That's the entire board.
That's the entire board.
Which I'd have to go to the finance committee initially before I could take it to the board.
Right.
For funding.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, in that case, right now, the burden is on this committee to make a decision whether or not. We should have the unfunded positions. At that point, this committee is no longer involved. The entire board is. The next step is the entire burden of ensuring that there's financial ability to fund those positions falls on the finance committee. Once, as a committee, they say, yes, we have the money. The committee is no longer involved. Again, it falls on the entire board. So then the board would have to make a decision. So we're looking at two separate committees making a decision
right.
from two points of view. And then the overall board making the decisions. Lots of checks and balances.
Right. And what it does is it provides a process for the GM to go through.
Mm-hmm.
To
kind of requires the GM to go through that
absolutely.
Process.
Absolutely. Which is a good planning tool, and it just makes sense.
It's safer for this district.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm not sure who's going to be here after me. And,
yeah.
and I need to try to put things in place as I build over the next few years to make sure that this district is in a good, safe place before I retire. So,
right.
That's my succession planning.
Okay.
Well, at least we've got, what, two and a half years for Dennis,
yeah.
I guess?
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah, he'll be 55 in 2021, I believe in June.
How old will he be?
He'll be 55. And he was looking at retiring at 50 when I first came in. We sat and talked, and I told him that wouldn't be a good idea, and so he decided to stay. But I am pretty sure at 55 he will go. So he and I turned 55 6 months after Dennis. So
I know how old you all are. You're my daughter's age.
And I'll probably be here till I'm 60, but, you know. I still need a plan just in case.
Okay. Any other
committee comments? No, I mean, for me, it's a good plan, and I think it's something we need from my point of view.
If
yeah,
you
I'm there with you.
And I think we need to recommend that it move forward for the unfunded position. But
now, even though this was not on the agenda for this meeting, are you comfortable if I put this on the agenda for the board?
Right.
As an agenda item, and then we can let them know that it was discussed informally as a walk-in.
And then we developed consensus.
Under member comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
so.
Do that. Yeah.
And then we'll see what the board at large thinks about that this and how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it'll be a definite. I think it's a feather in this district's cap if we can move this forward. So.
That's good. Where did we end up after the discussion of District of Distinction?
Mm-hmm.
Are we any closer to having full participation in the educational part of that?
I have completed it, and I believe three board members have completed it. We have two more board members that still would have to complete that before we can get the district of distinction.
Okay.
So
I just wondered if there were any commitments that had been made Nothing.
We might be at four, you might check, because I had asked about that at one point. I know Carolyn had completed all the sections in Sacramento with us and stuff.
Right.
But I think, but one?
She was missing one.
One, and I understood she took that.
I thought so.
I haven't seen that.
I understand, so if she took that one, she should be, that would be, no, that would be four.
Four, and then Director Freeman would be the only one that does that.
I think he's the only one, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know, but I don't know if Carolyn got her certificate in, or, I don't know. We'd have to ask.
Okay.
I'll find out.
I have mine, I didn't put it up with the board members, but I do have mine as well, so if you need that, so.
Okay. Is there any other business that we have?
Is there anything that you would like to see on the next agenda? And if not, you can always email Penny or I, too, so.
Yeah, off the top, no. Is there anything you?
Likewise, off the top, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking about,
We're moving forward.
The only thing I'm thinking about is the charter situation with not just this committee, but all of them.
The committee charters?
Yeah, I think some committees have them and others don't.
Yes.
And what I think we ought to do is we ought to have a template of sorts so that the charters all bear the same type of information. You know, what our responsibilities are, what we do once a year, like with the personnel committee. We review the employee handbook. We provide
the SOPs.
Yeah, just whatever kind of job functions we have. If we're going to be the trigger for looking at
succession planning,
unfunded positions, whatever you want to call it, then that should be part of our charter, so that we don't forget it.
I did find one, and I think I sent a copy to you of the personnel committee responsibilities, and I guess you would call it the charter.
Well, it might be.
Did you see that
one? I don't recall getting one from you. I recall having participated in the formation of one years ago.
Okay.
But I don't have a copy of it.
It was in our, whatever you want to call it, what was it, our indoctrination?
Bylaws or?
Packet for directors.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Director orientation.
That I've still got, so I
that
went
That monster?
Pardon me?
That monster?
That monster. But I went to the personnel committee section of it and found the basic
job
charter.
Is there a format that you like, that you prefer? Is there a specific format you'd like to see across the board? Or would you like us just to bring one together that we find and see what you think? And
there's, well, of the ones that we have, is there one that you like better? Maybe we can just put that on for the next personnel committee.
Okay.
And if there's one that you like better, then maybe we can
The ones that I've came across in the files is very basic. It's just a list of things, just typed up. Mm-hmm. So if you have,
That's the one, I believe.
Yeah.
I could show it to you.
Please.
Drop it off.
The only
but I think
charter
it's
I have is in the files that I've been able to find is the Finance Committee charter.
Oh, okay.
I don't have one for personnel or...
I've got that
security
monster tome at home too. That was put everything. Judy and I were scrambling at that point. We were finding out all the things we didn't know that we should have known. You know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we were afraid that the information might get lost again. So we just put everything we could lay our hands on in that book, and what happened was, of course, it backfired on us, and it's so big that nobody's going to go through that. Yeah.
Would you like, maybe Penny could get
the
charter from the Finance Committee?
Mm-hmm.
and email it to the two of you, not because of the finance committee, but just because of the format. So you have that one as well to look at, since that's the one we have on record.
Yeah.
See if that's something you guys like.
And at the last committee meeting, we discussed the charter, the committee charter, so I went on a hunt for it. And I did come across a couple of templates from other agencies.
Oh.
And I thought I emailed it to you. Maybe I did not.
Yeah. I looked at one of them. I know you sent me one for sure. So maybe she could send those to you as well from other agencies, just to give you a place to look and to start.
Okay.
See if there's something that you prefer. And maybe you like certain sections out of different ones, and we can combine them.
Yeah.
So
that's something I'd like to see happen. I think it's been a long time coming, and we really need to kind of clean up our act as a board to get those charters together.
In place.
When do we do committees?
Coming up in January.
January, okay.
Yeah. What we'd like to do, or what I would like to do in the future, is I would like, the vote is in early November. At the November board meeting, I'd like to swear in any new or incumbent officers. And then really, and I don't know if our bylaws allow us to do this or not, but I think it would be appropriate at the end of the December meeting to have the board make a decision as to who's going to be the new president, and then have them take office in January. I think right now it's part of the January agenda to have the board vote who's the president, and then it's almost like you have to wait till February to say who you're going to have in what committee, unless that person is really already thinking ahead of time to make the determination. And so it kind of puts the new president behind the eight ball, and gives them a lot of pressure at the start. So it's something that I cannot change, but I would suggest the board consider it. So.
Well, starting in November, I don't think we can swear anybody in November. There's a certain amount of time after an election that the election is certified, and it takes the Office of Elections a week or 2 weeks or however long.
You're right.
But I don't think we can do that in November. Okay. But there's no reason we couldn't just do everything in December.
Because I was reading our bylaws, and it says that that we are supposed to swear them in at the meeting immediately following the election as soon as possible. I think that's the key, is it's not possible in November because they haven't certified the elections. So, but if it's somebody that's running unopposed, and they're coming back in, then we actually probably could, because there is no opposition.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, this last year, both board members ran unopposed and just retained their position.
Yeah. Unless there's something that says it. I don't know enough about the law to...
I'll have to refresh my memory, because I don't remember right now.
Right. If indeed it says that the election must be certified first.
Right.
I think...
Well, kind of know who the next is. I mean, we have decided that as a board.
You mean that we're
that we
kind
would
of
do
rotating?
That a rotation, and that the vice president would...
Has anybody been talking about that? I haven't heard a word year.
With the rotation, I think you should become president and Judy should become vice president, I believe. Is that correct?
No, it would actually be Judy, probably.
As vice president?
I think so.
As president or vice president? Linda.
Vice president. You would be, because you're the vice president now.
Right.
So you would move into the president's chair.
Yeah, that's.
And I believe the rotation coming around would be Judy's turn.
As vice.
And I think so.
Yeah.
We can check it.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure that's
that
it.
And after that would be Jim Freeman.
Correct.
And after that, myself.
You. And then Karen.
And you can have up to two terms as president and vice president, so...
You can have up to?
Two terms.
Where did that happen?
As far as...
you mean in the rotation?
That's in...
It's news to me.
I thought that was in the rules. That...
I'm not familiar with that.
Where did I read that? Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
No, you could be right, too.
But I thought we'd have to research it a little bit, but I understood it to be two. So Carolyn, in theory, could run or could be if she wanted, and if someone nominated, could do one more term, I believe.
And I see what you're saying. You're saying two terms consecutively.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. But we've been doing a pretty good job of moving it.
I think
from
so.
From VP to president to, you know, the rotation going around. I think it gives everybody a chance to see from a different perspective.
I think you're right about that. It also moves the burden. So that you
I just thought I'd mention it.
I don't, that's not a bad deal. Yeah, in any case. To your knowledge, we're going to just keep doing the rotation. That was never anything formal. It was just...
I think based on past practices and procedures...
Makes sense.
I think it really makes sense because it is really a past practice and procedure this board has established, whether it's written or not. And so there is an area of expectation that I think board members, that the staff, and the public have because of past practices procedures by this board.
But you may have it come up where a board member is nominated
and doesn't want
and says, I'd rather not this year. I've got other things going on that I'd rather not be the board president this year. So we've got that in effect so that we can... It's not an automatic.
Right.
You're
not
forced to. It's still a nomination, and will you accept the nomination?
Right.
So
definitely.
It still should be process.
Process. It's all about process, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But so, that should give that person, in your, this case yours, already to be planning what you're thinking about. Are you going to accept nomination, and two, or what you want the committees to be?
Mm-hmm.
So,
how do we find out who wants to be on which committee beforehand without violating the Brown Act?
I don't know.
I can send an email out, and I can simply say, and that's really what the board can use me as a secretary. You can ask me to send an email out to say, you know, we're going to have committee selections coming up, and we would like to have that at the January board meeting. Does anybody have a preference, or please notify me of what committees you'd like to be on, and I'll make that available for the board at large.
You know, we had the same committee members for several years running, I think, because we put our first committees together in 2011. And I'm not sure that we changed them until last year.
Okay.
So we did just switch this past year. We moved them around.
I think Carolyn moved them around.
So we've got just the 1 year under our belt. And we can do that. We can change again. Or we can say, since we just changed, our committee member can say, I'd like to remain on the same committee
if possible.
Yeah, that
makes sense.
Well, since we just changed.
I like the idea of your... email as well. Mm-hmm. Could you just put that in? You know, given the fact that this is the first time we've changed in quite a long time, you may want to keep the committees the way they are.
Right. Definitely may want to keep them the way they are, but you also have the option to change. You know, what is your preference? And, you know, what committees would you like to be on? And then I can provide that to the entire board together via email so that you have that information before the board meeting. And that would not violate the Brown Act.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. Good idea.
That'll go out today.
we'll
make it happen.
It's already January 3rd.
Yeah. We'll put that out today so that we so board members have time to think about it and get it back to us. And then we can get that out hopefully before the agenda goes out.
That's good. That's good. And you can be on more than one committee.
Yes. And you don't have to be on a committee if you have other commitments. You know, you can have,
want to give anybody too many outs.
I mean, everyone really should be on a committee.
Yeah.
You have to be, don't you?
No.
You could actually be appointed. For example.
Because you've got two, and one. Mm-hmm. So, that's...
Yeah, but let's say somebody had a sick family member they had to take care of. One of the, you could have, another board member could be on two committees. They cannot be on more than two committees from what I saw in the rules and regulations. But they could actually be on two committees, which would leave one person out, not on any committees.
And you can't, we can't have three people, three directors on a committee.
Right.
Because that's a quorum of the board, and we could be functioning as a board.
Yeah, that's a violation of the Brown Act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maximum of two.
Okay. I didn't know that you could be on two committees.
Yeah.
So which two do you want to be on?
I don't think anybody wants to be, but, you know, but realistically what could happen is the president could not be on any committee and appoint the other four to the positions. And then the president would not have, it'd be less likely of a conflict of interest if there was, a problem. Let's say they have an interest in something personally or financially, and so they can't be on that committee. So the question is, you know, could that the president or another person be off the committee? They actually could. It's really up to the board and to the board president. So okay. Gives you a lot of latitude if needed. But I think it's healthy to be on a committee. So
it keeps you in touch with what's going on in a little bit more concentrated way. What else have we got?
That's it.
All right.
A couple items afterwards about the Valley Oaks that I'd just like to run by real quick, but nothing that's pertaining to this committee at all.
Okay.
And it's all positive stuff. So.
That's amazing.
Move for adjournment.
All in favor? I seconded, by the way. Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned at
9:55.
Boy, that clock makes a difference. I can really see it.